Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Who a night later couldn't keep Buddy Boeheim on the phone an extra 30 seconds for me to call in and say, hey, buddy, game of the year, player of the year. No. The one night I take off because of my dad's birthday, and you know what? Now I'm never taking off my dad's birthday again. Syracuse wins a huge game. It's okay. We were excited. My dad and I were pouring champagne on each other. What a big win. Buddy Boeheim comes on the show, and you and Dan Beyer couldn't keep him on the line for 30 seconds for me to call in to say, hey, congratulations. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, Mike Harmon. You did not make it that last night.
Well, we have the gift of him wishing you a happy birthday, inviting you to hang out with his family, come see a game, all of that stuff that would have been ruined by your fanboy appearance. We are objective analysts here on Fox Sports Radio. There are no agendas. There's no fawning at the folks that join into the program at all.
No, you were going to ruin
the hard-hitting interview that Dan Beyer and I did about, you know, coming back from the Bahamas to play at Syracuse, to what it's like being a WWE tag team with your younger brother joining the club. I mean, all of those things. I mean, and then you would have come in and just ruined all of that hard-hitting journalism.
I know. I would have ruined the part where you said, you know, buddy, I know you had a big game tonight, but I have a laundry list of reasons why Matt Nagy shouldn't be the head coach of the Bears outside of the Justin Fields situation. Can I tell you about them for a couple minutes? He would have said, sure, Mike, go ahead. And that would have been it.
No, we had a blast. I got to say, for those that missed it, find the podcast of last night's show, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, parenthetical Dan Beyer, in for Jason Smith, who was off celebrating a birthday and eating cheese. And
have
he
a
missed.
Lot of cheese.
But I get the note, hey, Buddy might be available. I said, well, yeah. And I did it for the show.
Buddy
112, buckets. 110, double overtime. He and his brother combined for, what was it, 53? 3 points, 10 assists, and
game of the
10
year.
Rebounds. I mean, just phenomenal as part of the conference challenge. I mean, there's just so much to it. And then I thought about it for a second. I go, oh, yeah, Jason's going to be really pissed. Yeah, make that happen.
So we're out at dinner and for my dad's birthday, and it's the last time we're never taking him out again. He's going to stay home for the rest of his life. So we're out at dinner, and Frostburg texts me, boy, did you pick a bad night to be off? And I said, yeah. I said, I know that game was insane. He goes, no, Buddy Buckets is on right now. And I said, what? He goes, yes, he's on right now. I go, all right, let me call in. It'll be fun, and I'll pop on the ears. Yeah, call fast. I'll try to get it happen. And you know, look, those interviews with players at the end of games, I know, are only a couple of minutes long because it's not a scheduled thing. Hey, come on and spend 10, 12 minutes talking about life and have a lifestyle interview. Hey, we're talking about the game, what's been going on. So I knew I only had a couple of minutes. Frostburg says, yeah, call. So he says, call into the studio. And I'm like, all right, great. So I call the studio number, and what happens? It's busy. It's busy for like 2 minutes. I'm like,
well, we normally don't take calls.
How is
it
busy?
And that phone
busy?
Normally doesn't ring. If something technical goes wrong, there's a bat phone next to Tyshirt that would be the one that would start ringing to make sure that he picks it up.
Batman.
I saw you did right there, putting that in there. They're very nice. Thank you. So I'm like,
broadcast professional, of course.
How is it not? I text Frostburg. I go, it's busy. He goes, hang on, I'll get Ryan Bershinger, who fills in for us a lot, to pick it up. And he goes, I'll get Bersh to pick up. I'm like, all right, great. And I'm just seeing the sand go through the hourglass, going, this is never going to happen. I'll call him to tell you to pick up the phone. And I'm going, running out of sand. I'm running out of sand. Just thinking of the Eddie Vedder song. I'm running out of sand. And then finally, I said, screw it. I'm just going to call the bat phone line. Now I just did it. So I figured I'm going to call that line. So I find it in my phone. I call it. Ty Shrek's up. Hey, this is Alex. I'm like, oh, look how excited he is. I go, Alex, it's Jason. Put me up so I can talk to Buddy Boeheim with the guys. He goes, oh, dude, the interview's over. You missed it. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, oh, what do you mean? You missed it. You missed the interview. I said, I missed it. Put me up so I can talk to them. So he goes, all right, hang on. I'll figure it out. And so then he figures it out, and I come on with you and Dan Beyer and, you know, talk about how neither of you could keep him on for an extra 30 seconds to talk, so I could say hi. Beyer could have talked about Giannis for 5 minutes. Oh, you know, I'm a big fan of the Bucks, buddy, and I like Giannis. No. None of you guys could do that. You wouldn't answer the phone. Tight shirts answer the phone like, hey, yeah, everything is great. Wow, what are you talking about? We got a guest on. It's Buddy Boeheim. I don't know who it is, but it's great. And all these things are happening. And, of course, I get on, and there's no Buddy Buckets for me.
Sorry, buddy. Hey, Tight shirt, how good was he?
Probably the best interview we've ever had, Mike.
I tell you what, he was really into it, excited to be on air with us. We asked him some good questions. He laughed a lot, really some thoughtful stuff on working with family. I mean, I really think it was a feel-good interview that might be Marconi worthy.
You know what's funny, though? Something was missing, and I don't know what it was, but it was great. So it was just, I think that needs to be done more. You feel me?
Let me ask you this, Tyshirt. Let me say that. Okay.
Yeah, what's up?
Is Buddy Boeheim the coach or a player for Syracuse? Which is it?
I thought he was a scout for some team that we were trying to get connected to or something.
He's a scout.
I like that.
Doesn't that sound like a scout name? Hey, my name's Buddy. You want to play for my team? Thanks, Buddy.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? No.
I mean, ask him if he was out on the road recruiting for Brian Kelly when the word went down that Kelly was leaving.
You may not have a job. You want to make a phone call, all right? Listen, I'll stay here. You make that call and tell me if you want to still recruit me, all right?
Or even better, the guys that were dressed in Oklahoma stuff and were recruiting for USC. It's just a great convergence of stuff.
We live in a different world than we did 30 seconds ago. So, hey, just to bring it back to that real fast, you mentioned the Kelly stuff. So yesterday for my dad's birthday, we go out golfing, right? We did golf and went out to dinner. It's what he wanted to do. So we go out golfing, and the people playing in front of us are playing in some kind of tournament. So they're with a bunch of other people. And one of the guys has an Oklahoma bag. And he's got an Oklahoma bag, he's got an Oklahoma towel, and he's got Oklahoma head covers on his clubs, and he's not very good. So I'm like, okay, so he'll be fun. Like, if he was a good player, I would have fun with him, and he would just go, he wouldn't be down with it. But he was a really bad player. So every time we pulled up behind them, I would go, woo, 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 and he would go, oh, man, come on. Because I would just do conquest to him, drive around, and I would have some kind of fun line. I would go, oh, you know who would have made that shot? Lincoln Riley would have made it. He didn't get off the plane and made that shot. So it kind of brings everything full circle.
You're lucky you didn't wear a 9-iron.
Yeah, I had fun earlier today with my dad. We had fun, the Oklahoma stuff, and then I missed on the Buddy Boeheim interview because of my dad's birthday. And you know who didn't feel bad at all for it? Take three guesses, the first two don't count. Who did not feel bad at all that I missed the Buddy Boeheim interview?
Oh, Walt didn't give a damn.
No, not at all. Oh, you missed it? Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. That's what he said. He went back to eating.
I have no doubt. He went right back to shoveling in whatever he was eating. No,
and I said, I could talk to you anytime I want to. How many times? I talk to a Boeheim every 3.5 years. Okay, because we had Jim Boeheim on about 3.5 years ago. Now I got, but it's going to be 3.5 more years till I get Jimmy Boeheim or Julie Boeheim or Jamie Boeheim, who's got like three state championships, by the way.
That's not true though. Give him the info. Buddy said he wants to do it again, right?
Yeah, he's just said whatever this show is with the hosts, I'll definitely come back. But if anybody was missing, I don't think I want to come back. I think that's his exact quote.
That's what he said. People who are missing. That's great. That's great.
I don't know, dude. It just seems like karma, don't you think, Mike? For some reason, the one guy that Jason always talks about, the team he always talks about, comes on when he's not here. Is that called karma, or what do you think that is?
I don't know what that's called.
It was called
an unfortunate occurrence that really probably caused Smith to not sleep last night.
It was taking.
Couldn't you just
off?
See him stalking his bedroom around, going, really? Come on.
I was celebrating my family while you guys were just out gallivanting and lollygagging and having fun.
I showed up for work. What the hell are you talking about?
The way you make it sound like, oh, yeah.
No, he was fantastic, though. We were having a nice conversation about the college football playoff and theories. And,
that's great.
And Gary Barta's quote about, you know, Notre Dame and how, hey, no Brian Kelly. I don't know how much we love him anymore. You know, that kind of thing. So
when's the next night you're off? When are you off, Mike Harm? When's your next night off?
We'll both be gone for some stretch of the holidays.
You're not off a day in December? You're not off another day in December?
No, not
because whatever
not,
day
well, I mean,
that
not
is,
till the holiday weeks.
No, no, whatever day next day that is, we're booking Pat Fitzgerald. Okay, so blank you. All right, he's coming on that night that you're off. I'm making sure it's you're off, and he's going to come on, and he's going to spend the whole night with us. Oh, I'm going to fly him to L.A., have him hang out, do the show in studio, buy pizza for everybody. That's what I'm going to do that night. It's going to be Pat Fitzgerald night. He's going to take pictures of people coming by. Oh, it's going to be great. And it's going to be a night that you're off. That's what
hey, look, tie shirt guys in the studio. He's going to buy pizza for everybody. So free meal for all y'all.
About
so
time.
Just let me
wow,
let me know
really?
when a day
really?
Works.
What?
Okay.
Really? What?
Wow. Really? Okay. Oh, really? About time. Okay. Oh boy.
Well,
okay.
It's been a minute since you've been in the studio.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it has.
You know,
oh,
I think
I'm sorry.
That's really kind of what he was really relating to.
No,
there.
No, I think Tyshirt forgets all the times that he has been fed non-meat. By me and by you and by the various people who work here when the hosts buy food.
Yeah, Mike, here, yes. I don't know about you, Jay.
I mean, I tried to give you a McRib and you wouldn't even eat it.
I can't believe that, dude.
I tried to give you a free McRib and you wouldn't eat it.
That's crazy.
Twitter and I'm out of Fresca, Mike and Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my former best friend, Mike Harmon. Yeah, we got to hear some of
we
that
had a good run.
Coming up later on in the show. I got to hear a little bit of that. All this mythical stuff about him saying, come stay with my family and hang out for
well,
the holidays.
I didn't say come stay with you.
Yeah. Like,
but
it's
just
like
come
it's,
meet the family and go to a game and all.
Like hanging out with, it's like Hawkeye in New York. Hey, well, old family's in New York. We're hanging out. We're going to see Rogers the Musical. Yes. That's what so, yeah, we definitely have to hear some of that.
The musical.
I mean, that was pretty entertaining. I got to say, it's pretty entertaining. But there is big news coming in now via college football, where now we know who is going to replace Brian Kelly as the next head coach at Notre Dame. Now, these reports came out about an hour or so ago about who the leading candidate was. And now we know that many sources reporting Urban Meyer. I got you for a second.
Get everybody start clenching a little bit.
I got you for a second. No, no, not Urban Meyer, but defensive coordinator Adam Gase. No, I got you again. I got
Wait,
you again.
Adam Gase as a defensive coordinator? Maybe he was doing it wrong the whole time.
Yeah, because he was terrible as an offensive head coach. Notre Dame defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman will get the job, and he will become the next head coach as the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Offensive coordinator Tommy Rees is expected to stay as the OC, and Freeman's a name that we heard a lot in the past couple of days as one of the only names that we've heard, because he is extremely popular with players and recruits, which is the most important thing. Who's going to keep the recruiting train going? And when you have that kind of support, well, you want to keep the train going, because let's face it, things have been pretty good at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been winning 10, 11 games a year. They've made the playoffs a couple of times. It's been pretty good times for Notre Dame. Brian Kelly is gone. All right, that's a blow. But they want to keep things rolling, and you don't need somebody else coming in saying, all right, we're going to start things over again. And, you know, Luke Fickell would come in, and he'd be great. You know, he succeeded incredibly well at Cincinnati, but he's a guy that's going to come in with his own ideas, his own recruiters, his own everything, and they did pretty well with getting a guy from Cincinnati before, but that was a different time for the program. It was, we need somebody to come save us, because Notre Dame football isn't what it was. Now, Notre Dame football is back to being a national power. They could still back into the playoff if they wind up getting things going their way this weekend. So, yeah, it's a different time right now. You didn't need somebody to come and save the program. It's, now let's keep it going to what we have. And with all the support from Marcus Freeman, not surprised.
Yeah, I look at it. You know, you're trying to figure out the landscape of college football going forward. And as you mentioned, all good on the recruiting trail, all good in the locker room. And you're navigating a new college football altogether, right? The name, image, likeness, and relating and being able to relate to players probably more pivotal than it ever was, right? And more of that connection. So you've got a 35-year-old head coach and your offensive coordinator is 29. Right, Rees played at Notre Dame. What's interesting is it all comes together because when we look at Freeman, he had coached at Cincinnati with Luke Fickell, who is rumored as maybe the guy that would slide into the Notre Dame job. But Freeman, before he came to Notre Dame this year, was linked with LSU, potentially going over there as their defensive coordinator. Instead, Kelly leaves for LSU, and here Freeman, as the latest report says, is going to ascend to the top spot, right? Defensive coordinator. Coordinator of the Year a year ago, and all the awards coming up, I'm sure consideration once again. But, you know, for Notre Dame, exciting times. Young core leading the charge. I like the just the different look, right? Everybody's zigging, and here's, you know, Kelly's 60 years old, and you still got Nick Saban running stuff, and you go through, and you got a lot of the veteran coaches, as it were, and you've got guys that are already tenured, right, have shown great acumen in their respective roles, but still learning, growing, and ready to lead this program forward. I think it's a fantastic move.
Oh, it's a great choice. Great job. You're keeping it going with a guy that everybody likes, that the players like. Yeah, if something happens, you can always make another move and say, all right, well, now we go bigger with a bigger, but let's give Marcus Freeman a chance because he's doing something and he's in the middle of a really great run, so let's keep it going. We don't want to, change out stuff unless you have to. If it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And Notre Dame isn't broke, so let's just keep the good times rolling, man. That's how it is. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It's your business, and you need to see every single hire, but you really don't want to go through every single resume. You need Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. Maybe that's how they decided on Marcus Freeman. The interview through Indeed.com. Who knew? With smart tools like Instant Match, you instantly get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. Spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, it's not often we have a time constraint on something, but there is something really big we have to talk about before time runs out on it. That's next right here, Fox. Talk to Buddy Boeheim, and that's Mike Harmon's fault. Oh, no, I'm good. I dropped the mic. I dropped the mic after that. I'm good.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Happy Wednesday. Well, it's going to be happy for a lot of people for, well, at least the next hour and 36 minutes. We are on a time constraint to talk about something because in an hour and 36 minutes, are we allowed to talk about baseball?
No, it's embargoed at that point. It's a reverse embargo.
The lockout is set to begin in Major League Baseball, which is why I'm glad the Mets got Max Scherzer, who spoke today in glorious tones about the New York Mets. Now he wanted to win a championship and how excited he is, and that's why he chose the Mets.
Oh, yeah, he blamed the Dodgers for a lot of stuff? Yeah, Scherzer.
$40 million a year. $40 million a year. That'll do it to you. I'll say I can win a championship anywhere. You give me $40 million.
I'm glad I'm here with the Marlins. I want to win a championship. But after meeting for a grand total of 7 minutes today, both sides in the Major League Baseball potential lockout situation, which we know is coming, have decided, okay, no reason for us to continue to talk, and the lockout is set, tick, 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 for an hour and 35 minutes from right now. So after this, like, can I still talk about the Mets winning the World Series and how much overwhelming favorites they are and how great an owner Steve Cohen is? I mean, or is that, like, is all baseball stuff, like, is it embargoed? Is it out? Can we not talk about it?
Yeah, unless someone, you know, goes on Twitter and makes an announcement of something they bought their kids or their significant others for the holidays and want to give you gift ideas, they don't matter because the season doesn't exist. It's a myth. It's a Yeti when you're in a lockout situation. By the way, I don't think I saw people as angry, at least in my social media scanning and reading over the course of the day and preparation of the show in between cooking dinner and all those fun things. I don't think people showed the same outrage for a 7-minute meeting on a multi-billion-dollar sport shutting down. You know, that just spent $1.7 billion in new contracts in over the last week. There wasn't nearly as much angst, consternation, and vitriol as there was for the fact that Brian Kelly, who'd already left for another job, only met with players, the few that showed up, for 2 minutes after, you know, he'd already left for another job.
How long
is it because nobody understands what's going on?
Did you really think that meeting was going to be needed to be longer than that? It's okay, yeah. You know, coach, you got us up about an hour early to tell us, yeah, you love us and you're leaving. Okay, can we go now? Can we go? Are we good? Are we are you coaching us? No, you're not coaching us. Okay.
Do you know? I mean, as we talked about yesterday, okay. I mean, I wouldn't have shown up. I mean, it's like, all right, you sent me the text. We know you're gone. We'll see you in hell. I mean, good luck in your new spot. I'm going to get an extra half hour of sleep, or if I'm up to working towards getting to class, I'm going to class. So, you know, it seemed completely unnecessary. Whereas trying to, you know, discuss on the final day if there might be one point that you could spend an hour or two to at least bridge the gap a bit. You know, after 7 minutes, just getting up saying, hey, I've had a couple of nice sips of coffee and walking back out the door, I think that's a much bigger deal and much more problematic.
Well, I'm sure it was just like in Love Actually when Billy Bob Thornton, as President of the United States, tells Prime Minister Hugh Grant, I'll give you anything you want as long as it's not something I don't want to give you. I mean, then I'm not going to do it. Look, this is what's expected. So now there's only so much time we have to get in things like, oh my God, Max Scherzer, I can't believe this. And let me just dispel one thing right away. Not so much about how much the Mets are going to win the World Series, but Max Scherzer introduced to the New York Mets, to the world as a Met, and talked glowingly about Steve Cohen and winning. And this is why I love Steve Cohen as an owner, right? Because he wants to win. Scherzer talked about it, overly so. He wants to win. You see, Steve Cohen tweets out about the fans, about doing things for the fans. I mean, he wants to be beholden to them. That seeps into everything, into free agents, into the team atmosphere. Because you don't know about owners who and what their motivations might be. They might say, oh, yeah, we want to win. But really, you know, we're not going to spend any more money. This is the last time. You got to go in with this team. I'm not spending any more money. That's not who Steve Cohen is. Steve Cohen's a guy. He's a fan. Like, he won a contest to buy a team, and the contest was being great at hedge funds. And, you know, and now he gets to do what he wants. And being beholden to the team is certain things, like, even though it's embarrassing, when during the middle of the season there were concerns about the clubhouse and is Luis Rojas getting out of the clubhouse. And he said, hey, guys, I just went down to the clubhouse. Everything is great. Like, he went to go check on the team for us. Like, hey, I think I heard some noise upstairs. Can you go up and check and see if the kids are asleep? Yeah, let me go do it. You go up and come down and go, yeah, the kids are asleep. That's fine. I think the bottle fell out of the crib. It's all good. The kids are asleep. And, you know, Steve Cohen saying, hey, I just spent time with the team. Everything is fine. I mean, it was embarrassing, but I love that he did that because he wanted to be beholden to the fans. And when you're beholden to fans, it means you're beholden to winning. And when you're beholden to winning, you're going to get those players that you need to change that clubhouse culture, like Max Scherzer, because as good of a player as he is, you've heard so many times, so many stories about other players on other teams following him around, being told to follow him around, prepare like Max Scherzer does. This is how you're going to be successful. He's a big culture changer, right? I could say all of these things, and they're all accurate about Max Scherzer. But the main thing I want to hit on is this before you know, because look, we don't have a lot of time because the blockout's coming.
So we had to get our Mets talking.
Yeah, we got to get
Steve Cohen had his Frank Langella day. We had a great day.
Listen, you know, we got Chris Taylor to get to. We got Marcus Stroman decides he's going to the Cubs and he tells everybody before there's a story on it. I mean, we got other baseball stuff, but for all of the general criticism, which, hey, whenever certain teams sign players, there's going to be a large amount of the population that says, oh, this sucks because. And the number one thing I've seen from everybody, including Frostburg, who tells me, he's got a dead arm. Yes, he was a little tired and had to come out an inning or so early after the Dodgers used him to close out the series against the Giants. If the Mets sign him and his arm is dead, first of all, you think, and look, I know it's the Mets.
You would just say Mets, yo.
Yeah, I would just say Mets. But this is where it's not even about the Mets, because I want to think the Mets, you know, put him through an exam and looked at his elbow and said, okay, everything is fine. Look, they didn't sign Kamara Rocker coming out of Vanderbilt because they were concerned about his arm. But Scott Boras would never have the trust of any organization again. Never. The good clients that he has, if the Mets signing Max Scherzer, if Max Scherzer's arm was dead and he couldn't throw a strike, and that gets out now, because clearly we would know right away. We'd know in April or May or whenever the Major League Baseball season begins with the lockout coming. It would be, boy, can't trust Scott Boras anymore, because he's going to just drive up the price. He's going to sell me damaged goods. If there's any concerns of health about a guy, I'm not going to do it. And not only is Scott Boras not going to do that because of his own reputation, he would would do it because his clients would lose out. Hey, I'm not getting an offer here because people still think I'm hurt because of Max bleeping Scherzer. Meanwhile, my arm is fine. I got a bionic arm, man. I got all kinds of body parts from four Major League Baseball players. Are you kidding? I got all kinds of great stuff in me. And teams would say, nah, we don't know. You might be hurt. Boris did it with the Mets. That would hurt Scott Boras so badly. It would hurt him and his reputation and people he represents, and people would leave him and not go to him as new clients. That's what would happen if Max Scherzer had a dead arm, because it's so close from now to when we would find out. Now, if he's got a dead arm in a year and a half, he's got a dead arm in a year and a half. What could I do? But if he's an ace this year and him and DeGrom and it's World Series or bust, hey, let's do it. But the dead arm stuff, I am not concerned about that. I have no concern.
Right, but even if it became an issue in season again, doesn't mean he's got a dead arm right now, right? How many of you on the side of the road listening across this vast Fox Sports Radio network nationwide, you know, you'd go to the mechanic, hey, I'm hearing something like this, right? And then they can't replicate it, and they tell you to beat it. And then you go home, and it's the same noise or same issue again, and you go back, I'm telling you, we got a problem here. Like right now, for Max Scherzer, he's in the, hey, my arm's fine mode. Passed all physicals, everything's good, and name's on the dotted line, give me my money. And everybody's happy for now. But that doesn't mean 6 months from now. I mean, you could be right into the early parts of the season and have something go wrong. I mean, that's unfortunately the frailty of the human body when you're trying to throw the ball 100 miles an hour and using the torque that you do. Stuff is going to happen. And look, everybody's – there's been a lot of folks in L.A. wishing him poorly, a lot of anger that – you know, because he threw some shade back to L.A. and handling and whatever, and that's fine. It's part of the gamesmanship of it all, and just saying, hey, looking forward to a new start going, and I want the responsibility of this team and the pressure that goes with being in New York. Saying all the right things. We'll see how that works if he goes through a slump or has some kind of issues or physically he's not right. So the back page of the Fish Wrap is about him not being able to take the ball every fifth day. We'll see how much he responds to that other than looking at his bank account saying, hey, that part of the $40 million cleared, right? But it is in the moment, right? I can't say the guys, damn it, they wouldn't be able to go through with all the, if he passes a physical, that's on the Mets.
Yeah.
Right? Let's call it what it is, right? I mean, because it's not like they're going to say, all right, you're going to throw today, and then tomorrow we're going to simulate you coming in to pitch to five batters in a playoff game, and then we're going to try to run you again on 3 days rest. That's how we're going to simulate whether your arm's still dead. No, that's foolhardy. It's not going to happen. So right now, all of that talk, you put it in a nice bucket. Maybe you make it a nice paragraph on the Wikipedia page and you hold it because maybe it comes up again. Maybe it doesn't. But right now, it's not an issue for the Mets. They celebrate the signing of their new $40 million a year pitcher. And Steve Cohen looks like a genius for assembling a rock star team. And in an hour and a half, we'll never mention them again.
Mm. Like the Mets doctor is Dr. Nick Riviera. And he's showing up. Hey, everybody.
Hey, man, we've seen how many times do we look at NFL teams and Major League Baseball teams and wonder what the hell's going on in the training room? I'm not saying that couldn't happen, right? I'm not saying there might have been, you know, hey, what was that? No, that was barbecue sauce. I was having lunch when they brought me all the x-rays, but it really wasn't. So, yeah, it's one of those situations. Everybody wants to get upset about it. I think it's really just about you.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. So understand, Max Scherzer will be fine when the Mets are in the World Series, and it's, oh, the big thing is, oh, who's going to pitch game one, DeGrom or Scherzer? Who's going to pitch opening day, DeGrom or Scherzer? Who's going to pitch opening day of the playoffs, DeGrom or Scherzer? Oh, suddenly the Mets' problems are so much. Yeah, just remember, just Scott Boras is never going to cost himself a nickel or any of his clients a nickel for anything.
You just put them in the playoffs, too.
I just put them in the World Series.
And the
DeGrom, sure, it doesn't matter. They could be the only two guys we have. I could be the third guy up there. You know, they're hoping to get about four pitches out of Jason Smith before they got to take him out of the game, because that could be like, well, let's see, the leadoff batter would take the first pitch, then hit the next one for a triple. So that's two pitches in. Then the third guy would come in, take the first pitch, hits the net one for a home run, then they'd have to put a relief pitcher in. So it wouldn't matter, because then we could come back and win that game because we're only down 2-0. So it would be okay. It would be DeGrom and Scherzer, Smith, DeGrom, Scherzer. There we go. That's what we need.
It's how you put yourself to sleep every night, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going game by game.
Instead of counting sheets, DeGrom and Scherzer, DeGrom. But now I can't do it tonight because there's going to be a lockout. So I can't do it. I can't think about it. I can't even say the word baseball after 9 o'clock. There's a lockout.
We'll send you some thoughts of things that you could fill your brain with.
All right.
Can't talk about them on the air, though.
Now, hang on, guys. Are you oiling a gate behind you? What is that? What is that noise? It sounds like a sign that is being blown by the wind, like an iron sign. What does that sound?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It sounds like a gate swinging open, like you're trying, and you need to oil it because it's kind of rusty and making that noise.
Oh man, they used to call me the Tin Man just based on the creaks in my knees. But
okay.
Right now I'm just sitting and talking to you.
All right. Yeah, I heard it again right there. Okay. It's like the sign that blows in the wind, and it's a very ominous thing. And
I'm not outdoors. I'm not doing a remote.
And then, Voorhees or Myers is behind you with a machete, and that's it. Oh, you see there's the sign blowing because, here comes death in the form of Michael Myers. And then that's it.
Okay. And then said he had a good run. And that was it.
I don't know. That would be a different movie if Michael Myers would actually speak. Hey, you had a good run. What? Wah! And then you're dead.
How terrifying would that have been in the last one they made until they made another? All of a sudden, he just went on did a little soliloquy of why he went on a kill crazy rampage all these years.
Maybe there's going to be a new person in the movies, and that we came up with the idea, and it's someone who says, "Hey, you had a good run," and then that person knows they're going to get killed. Like, oh no, I had a good run, Mom. My life is over. What can I do? Be a different way to have one of those slasher movies done.
The end of the run.
The end of the run. He had a good run. No, I didn't. I'm only 19. I'm sorry. I was smoking cigarettes. I shouldn't have done that. Don't kill me. This is what happens.
Anti-tobacco ads.
Well, if you're smoking or if you have sex or anything else in a movie, a horror movie. No, you're done. Sorry. Can't do it.
You got to be able to get a doctorate, do a whole dissertation on that, right?
No.
Of all of the subplots to horror films and really all the... thinking churchy thoughts that they were trying to pass on what you were doing.
If you make it in a horror movie, you have to be really, really smart. You have to have a bad boyfriend that anybody else watching the movie would not be sad to see them get it by the slasher, the killer. And you have to act very virtuously the entire time. You can't have any underhanded stuff like, I'll save you. And then when you see the guy coming, you push your friend out in front. Hey, here you go. Take her. I'm leaving. No, those are all things that have to happen if you're going to survive in a horror movie. It's about being a final girl. That's what it is.
It's good advice.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, we're ahead of Thursday night football already. I take one night off. Now I'm back. We're looking ahead. We got the Saints and the Cowboys tomorrow. Sure. No Mike McCarthy who's sitting out because of a COVID situation. But the big change we're going to get is the Saints will have a new quarterback. As Drew Brees is coming. No, see, I gotcha. Taysom Hill will be under center for New Orleans tomorrow against the Dallas Cowboys. This move made earlier today. There were whispers about this beginning of the week that Hill was getting more and more reps. And Trevor Siemian, he will go back to being the backup. Mike Harmon, I know he is near and dear to your heart because, listen, there's not many Northwestern Wildcats starting across the National Football League. And here's
more
one
than Syracuse right guys right now. But yeah.
No, we got some more guys coming in. We got some guys in there now. I mean, you know, look, McNabb is doing great things in Philadelphia. You know, we're okay. You know, we got guys like Dwight Freeney is really lighting up with the Colts. Say, you know, no, we got some guys out there. Martin,
yeah, we're
Harrison's
talking about the
great.
Oh, it's one of the things I love about the Northwestern football, you know, family, the PR folks there, is every Sunday before the games they do put out a list of here's where you find your Northwestern alums in the NFL.
Good job by them. Very good.
Chargers have had like half the squad at this point.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true. But, look, this is a big quarterback move for tomorrow's game, and there's a lot of pressure on the Cowboys, clearly, because you know, they've taken a 3.5-game lead. It's down to 2 games in the NFC East. It has been just abysmal for them the past week. So this is one of those get-right games they're hoping for tomorrow. And I don't know why it's taken so long, but finally the Saints decide, hey, we're going to go to Taysom Hill all along. Taysom Hill last year, when it was clear that, hey, he was Sean Payton's guy, right? Taysom Hill became a dual threat player against bad teams, but put up a lot of offense, and the Saints won when Drew Brees was injured. So I kind of understood, all right, look, Sean Payton, whoever he puts out there at quarterback, they're going to be good, but you can see Taysom Hill brings a different dynamic to the team because he can make plays with his legs and he can throw the football okay. But apparently it took him, and this is where I don't get it, it took him a 4-game losing streak to realize, oh, Trevor Siemian's really not our guy. We've lost to the Falcons, who stink. We lost to Tennessee, who's pretty good. We lost to Philadelphia, who alternately stinks. We got blown out by Buffalo, who alternately good and alternately stinks. And now they're going to Taysom Hill to try to save the season. I scratch my head on this, Mike, because Hill clearly is the more talented quarterback, and you're looking for a way to get him on the field. Did you really give him $10 million a year to only play a little bit? I mean, I get that, hey, the backup quarterback, a really good one, is going to go for close to $10 million, but you need this guy on the field. He needs to be on the field more than he is. I mean, I get, hey, in a pinch, we got to go to Trevor Siemian and see what he does. And it's not like Trevor Simeon's played awful, but the last 2 weeks, you know, 3 out of the last 4 weeks, they haven't moved the football a lot. He hasn't had big games, and clearly he's been a stopgap guy. Why don't you get somebody who's more of a weapon on the field more often? And it took 4 losses to figure it out that way.
Well, you look at the roster construction, as much as we may like the defense at times, and we celebrate Alvin Kamara when he's right, which he isn't, and may not play again tomorrow, that they're devoid of talent on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, there's just no dancing around that at all. I mean, and Taysom Hill's only been available to them because he's been dealing with a plantar fascia issue. He's only played 38 snaps since week 5. So he hasn't been healthy and not even being available to be the Swiss Army knife guy that they envision, which is when Siemian was originally inserted. I think that's what we all presumed was, all right, they have very little at the wide receiver position. They're starting to split Kamara out wide a little more. They brought back Mark Ingram so that he could be a sledgehammer. Well, he gets hurt right away. Kamara hasn't been there. Who the hell do you trust in the receiving corps? Zero. And this guy that you paid all the money to and keep restructuring his deal and making announcements, he's been unavailable due to injury. Right? Because Atlanta was perfect. Two of his games last year where he shone were against a really bad Falcons squad who, at this point in the year right now, alternately, they look like they're either quitting or they're world beaters, depending on the day. So, yeah, tomorrow's interesting, right? Dallas is gettable downfield. Who are you throwing to? But it's Sean Payton's at the point of, I got to do something, even if it's wrong, and shake it up. Assuming, you know, Hill's back to being himself, then he at least becomes a run threat, and you got to look out for a little bit of option work. But again, until Alvin Kamara is cleared, I still don't think you've got a discernible threat in that offense to work with him.
It's going to be, if the Cowboys lose tomorrow, then you can sound all the alarm bells. Because like I said, sometimes it can be a midseason swoon. The Cowboys' offense is really good. Sometimes you get lost for a couple of games. Just ask the Rams. But if they lose tomorrow to a team that's in flux and trying to figure things out, then you can sound the alarm bells and say, Same old Cowboys.
Yeah, but Jason, they still have all those division games left, too, because that's where the alarm really sounds, including two against the surging Washington football team.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Coming up next, oh, we got more big quarterback news coming your way. Keep it here. This is Fox.